In the American West, there are hundreds of legal disputes over water, many dating back 5 and 6 generations. And the doctrine used to settle them is as complex as the tributaries and diversions it attempts to govern. Today, as part of our series on water in the West, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold runs us through Western Water Law 101.
Like the genre of Hollywood movies it inspired, Settlement of the West was and still is about water, the fight to get it and keep it.
Now, what about my promise? All the water you want, just as long as you want.
You've got the looks of a man that means what he says. But this ain't just a matter of water. The Hennessys will have no peace till the bones of Henry Terrell is bleaching in Blanco Canyon. Now he started this blood spilling, and I aim to finish it.
Violence was often the result when you took the arid West, stirred in a bunch of people with high hopes for farming and ranching, and didn't add water. Lives and livelihoods have been lost in feuds over water, and it all goes back to what's called the doctrine of prior appropriation, a fancy way of saying first one to use it gets it. It originated during the California Gold Rush days with miners who needed water for their placer operations on public lands. They adopted the same rule for water as they did for minerals, first in time, first in right.
It's the same kind of justice we think about when somebody tries to crowd in front of us in line.
David Getches is the dean of the University of Colorado Law School. He wrote the book on water rights, literally. It's called Water Law in a Nutshell.
It doesn't take into account who might have a more valuable use or a use for water that society thinks is more or less important or even damaging. And that didn't matter back then. It was simply a matter of getting the gold out.
But it became complicated when settlers arrived to ranch and farm and needed water, too.
Now, listen, young lady. I aim to get my cows back to water. I'm a law-abiding man. That is, if there's any law to abide by.
To this day, the prior appropriation doctrine governs water in 9 western states, whether it's Dead Bug Creek or the Rio Grande, and whether it's being diverted for a 5th-generation rancher, a golf resort, or a public hospital. Charles Wilkinson is a professor of law at the University of Colorado.
And so we adopted a doctrine that created a race on the rivers, but we gave away too much. And so we've put ourselves in a box with a primitive body of law just based on a rule of capture.
This barely flowing diversion ditch runs along the drought-depleted Muscle Shell River, a 250-mile stretch in eastern Montana that in a good year reaches the Missouri River.
My experience, we have about 2 good years out of 10.
Richard Van Kampen is the chief water commissioner on what's called the Muscle Shell Enforcement Project. His job is to divide up water between 300 users up and down the river. Everything about him is direct. His handshake, his gaze, his view of the world. And it better be, he's in charge of water in a place that would dry up and blow away without it.
There's not enough river to go around. The river has been over-allocated.
For 45 days, there's been no water flowing through the system that reaches the end of the river. It's all been used up by those with the most senior rights, those that date back to 1875.
Ideas and perceptions change very quickly when people think you are taking their water from them. I'm not taking their water from them, I'm just distributing it according to the law. And so I'm the water cop, so to speak.
As Chief Water Commissioner, Van Kampen has the power to carry a gun and to arrest. He has more latitude than the local sheriff and doesn't need cause to go on property as long as there's water there. Bumping along in his big diesel truck, we pass miles of bone-dry, sun-bleached hay fields.
Last year I put about 12,000 miles on chasing water up and down the river.
Like the doctrine he's sworn to enforce, Van Kampen sees no middle ground, even when friends, neighbors, even family are involved.
Yeah, I'll just get out here with you. Watch for snakes, maybe. I don't know that there's any. Did I say the wrong thing?
We stop at a ditch near a clump of willow. There's barely a trickle of water, not nearly enough for this rancher, whose fields haven't produced much more than knapweed for the last 5 years.
There's not enough. He's out of his stored water, and his priority date is 1900, and so they cannot take water. The priority date's presently set at 1883.
Amazing that if you didn't get in by 18, what did you say, 18?
1883.
1883, well.
You're out of luck.
Faced with drought and no legal right to river water, this rancher tried to irrigate last year, despite his priority date. He was caught, and he confessed to Van Campen, "The water looked so good, I just took it."
It's a lesson hard learned, but it's a lesson that everybody needs to understand.
Van Campen is just one foot soldier of many in the West who are increasingly alarmed about water and how it's being used. Everyone wants a seat at the table, from kayakers to home builders. And there were also those whose established rights were completely ignored by the doctrine, Native Americans, who to this day are in court over water promised in treaties. David Getchis says the law has evolved over the years to grant rights to other uses, but they must be considered beneficial.
Well, what's beneficial? Back in the early days, that meant mining, it meant agriculture, manufacturing, domestic uses, but it didn't mean recreation, and it didn't mean hydroelectric power. Well, we know today that the public values rivers and streams enormously for having water in the stream, providing habitat for fish, providing boating opportunities, recreation, and those things were seen as nothing more than frivolous back in the 1800s.
Still, senior water rights trump it all. So say it's agreed that more water needs to be kept in a river to protect an endangered species. Well, that's all well and good, but it's still what's considered to be a junior right and must stand in line behind all the senior water users dating back to the 1800s. Charles Wilkinson says what's needed is a shift in attitude.
Look, prior appropriation has undergone some changes, but they have really been minimal. And you still have the idea that what rivers are for in the West is to take the water out of them.
Here along the Musselshell, it's easy to see who has the best claim. While the nearby hamlet of Harlowtown rations water and alternates sides of the street for car washing and garden watering, a rancher high on a bench above the river bottom maintains a lush crop of alfalfa with endless pipes and sprinklers, a shock of green made possible only by the little that's left in the Musselshell. It doesn't make for good neighbors. Farms and friendships have been lost over water rights, and the tension it creates is more real than in any Hollywood Western. It pits cities against cities and states against states. Attorney Bill Swan has wrestled with water rights issues for more than three decades. He points out that the courts continue to side with senior rights holders, and that's largely agriculture.
And this is a struggle in our country in all kinds of ways. You know, it's somebody has a right to something, and you say, well, can't we share that more easily or spread it around or whatever? It is a redistribution that has to occur, but it's very painful.
And it's a dilemma the doctrine of prior appropriation doesn't address. For in the rush to take it, there was never a consideration that one day there might not be enough to go around. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.